Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome to the Daily Jungle. If you are listening to this, we survived, but barely. If you're listening to this, I still have my job because Romageddon just happened. And if you missed it, we've got you covered right here. You clones made the Jim Rome podcast the number one sports podcast on iTunes. And because of that, I did this. One segment of bum smack, one segment of personal appearance smack, one segment of the Rat Family, and finally, the infamous Toby in Houston call. The call that I promised would never make it on the air ever again. None other than Mr. Automatic J. Stu himself called in to break down how that call made it past him and through to me. We've got all of that, plus Alvy's legendary week that was. Go ahead and roll it, Alvy. For those of you wondering what the hell bum smack is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's morons making fun of homeless people. Maybe the worst idea ever. Something I abhor. And it's the easiest moratorium I ever had to throw down on this show. A no-brainer. Yet incredibly, it's back for a segment. Just know, I want nothing to do with this segment. I want nothing to do with those of you who are going to participate in this segment. You see, for some ghoulish, sick, twisted reason, bum smack is a big thing for some clones. You know, something about human beings without a home is funny to some of you. You see, I'm different. To me, somebody not having a roof over their head or enough food to eat is not funny. In fact, it's about the worst thing ever. In retrospect, I should have never offered this segment as a carrot, but I did. And now I've got to own it. And you know what? I think what I'm going to do is make the best of a really bad situation and use this opportunity to remind all of you listening, there are a 500,000 people on the streets in America right now. And if you would like to be a part of the solution, instead of making fun of the problem, go to endhomelessness.org to find out how you can help. Now, if it sounds like I'm being a big buzzkill, it's because I am. And I really hope that none of you take me up on this one last opportunity to crack on bums on this show. But if you do, just know that you're going to have to live with yourself every single day for the rest of your lives. And if you decide to hang up right now, don't sweat it. I'm good. I've got content and takes for days. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. With that in mind, bum smack. You're officially on the clock. First call of the day, Romageddon. By the way, Twitter and the email are going crazy. Absolutely going crazy right now. Hashtag everything with Romageddon. Let's go to Vancouver. This guy finished just outside the top 10 in the smack off. Matt in Vancouver. Matt, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Romageddon, Rome. Wore bums using shopping carts to drive around Uber people. Unwore dirt people bums in Edmonton using boxcars as boardrooms and holding secret bum meetings.
Whoa. Hold on a minute here, man. Quick fact. My uncle is a bum in Edmonton, and if that guy lived in the States, he'd be more wealthy than that pathetic bum porter Mark in Hollywood.
Hey, man, Tyler's got a point. I mean, Vic's broke bum ass blows $200 a week on vape pens, and he still lives in his freaking 93 Saturn.
Man, funny you mentioned Vic. You want to know the difference between Terrell Owens' career and Vic's smack-off career? There is none. Both have faded legacies and empty bank accounts.
Empty bank accounts, man. I would say both those guys have empty pockets and even empty bum-ass stomachs. War food.
Man, poor starving Americans. Must suck having puddle water and tree bark as their two essential food groups.
And yet the American bums are still too fat to use hollowed oak beach logs as summer cabins.
Man, in closing, I just want to unwar the New York Giants O-line being weaker than a bum's immune system and war two lean, well-fed, employed Canadians coming back in 2018. We're out.
Matt and Tyler with a random or a dual call. The first call out, two Canadians cracking on bums in America and that the bums in America are still fat. I mean, like, I'm reeling. It's the weirdest thing to me. Like, any one of those references would have got those guys rung up so fast. Yeah, I'm just kind of laying out. Yeah, go ahead, Matt. And what do you got, Tyler? You guys want to talk about some bums? It's Bum Smack, segment number one. Get it in this segment, because once the segment's over, you can't do that again. It has to stay within the lines. 1-800-636-8686. Rome. War bums posting Facebook updates on porta potty doors. Signed, Craig, no longer in Tampa. Starting to get the idea why I banned this stuff from the show. Hey, Rome. War bums shaving with sour cream and broken taco shells. Craig, no longer in Tampa. That's two for Craig. Rome, war a bum. War a bum using another bum as a mattress. Craig, no longer in Tampa. Three in a row for him. Damn, bro, that's not funny. I'll see you in hell, Craig. Wore a bum using another bum as a mattress. Here's one from Toronto. Wore 8 out of 10 bums eating the cereal box for a balanced breakfast. Ian in Toronto. This email says, war bums using sewers as lazy rivers. Nick in the land of the Norsemen. Rome, war bums using the bottom of a broken Coke bottle as a monocle. Steve in PHX. Let's go to Tommy in North Carolina. We go to the phones. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Jim? Doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, not really good at all. What's up?
I just got a couple of takes for you. War bums using Rubik's Cubes as GoPros. War bums using crossword puzzles as W-2s. And war bums using empty skull cans as Amazon Echoes.
Thanks, Tommy. See you never again. You know, it's like my gut reaction always. My reflex is, and notice it's not coming. There is no hammer. There is no LT. It is a literal shock to my system. Like, everything I know and that's near and dear to me is out the window. Like, these reflexes I have, like, I'm looking at Alvin like, what the hell's the matter with you? Are you listening, Alvin? Are you listening? But none of us are doing anything except letting it all in. The floodgates are wide open. Hey, Rome. I want to do everything I can to help out the homeless bums. But the problem is, they're never freaking home. Signed, Bill in North Hollywood. Wow, I'm looking at the clock. I'm trying to speed the clock up. I so badly want this segment to end. Again, maybe it's just me. I believe in things like karma. I believe in things like fate. I believe that if you say terrible things about people who've had terrible things happen to them, that terrible things will probably happen to you as well. But not you clones. You're having way too much fun. Dear Romy, war bums using a starfish as a fidget spinner. War bums using cigarette butts as Apple AirPods. War bums using fruit by the foot as athletic tape. Signed, Francis in Glendale. Hey, Francis, I really don't need your sexual preference also. You don't need to include that. And Twitter's going off. Sarah T is in. What do you call a bum in a mirror? Answer, twins. Thank you, Sarah. Take the rest of the day off. Old G tweets, what does a bum call a dumpster? Answer, bed and breakfast. But then again, I guess if you saved all this up for 15 years, this is what's going to happen. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, war bums using their mugshot as ID to buy a 40. Sean in Tucson tweets, bum smack is open season. War bums using fidget spinners as ceiling fans. Matt in SLO tweets, war bums using Armor All as hair gel. And everybody's hashtagging this Romageddon. Hashtag Romageddon. Hashtag Romageddon. Nick in West Michigan tweets, war bums chasing stray animals for exercise. War bums using Folgers coffee cans as savings accounts. Sarah T is back in. Why did the bum cross the road? Answer, his house blew over there. Damn, this can't be happening. Sarah. Sarah. Why did the bum cross the road? His house blew over there. It's bringing everybody out. I haven't seen this guy in a long, long time. We go to Chicago. Jesus. What's going on with you, Jesus?
What's up, bro? It's an honor to be on this segment, really.
It should be.
I want to do my part to help your little organization or foundation there. I have a song called Bums on iTunes right now. I will help you. I will donate the proceeds to any downloads I get for that song to that organization of yours. So just search for Magic Wand Bums on iTunes. You'll find it there.
All right, Jesus, thank you very much. Hey, Jesus, if I need to plug iTunes, I'm going to plug it for me, not for you. Even if you are going to give the proceeds to, quote, my organization. Jesus is a guy who's got a lot of parodies. Some are really, really good and some aren't. Dear Rome, knock, knock. Who's there? A bum because they live outside. War home ownership. Ken and Mission Viejo. Like, Ken's the worst kind of guy. War home ownership. Hey, can I say this one more time? The reason I got rid of this is, one, it's horrible content. I mean, you can't tell me this is not one of the worst segments you've ever heard on any radio show ever. Ever. This is a terrible segment. I've got visions of the suits back in New York at CBS saying, all right, yeah, this is not what we thought this was going to be. This is bad. Thankfully, Rome is a longtime radio vet, and he'll put an end to this. But the problem is I really can't because I promised that I would do this. But this, to me, is not only some of the worst radio ever, it's the worst karma ever, Ken. War home ownership. You think that those, quote, bums, who I like to refer to as homeless people, do you think that those homeless people like not having a home, like not having a roof, like not having enough to eat, like not having enough warm clothing to wear? This guy's just going on about, yeah, I live in Mission Viejo. Look at me. I'm smart. I went to college. I got a home. We're all you losers who don't. Or unwar you losers who don't and war me. Dear Rome, war bums writing the letter E on an envelope and calling it email. Was in Scottsdale. Are there really any more bum jokes that are left? Is there any bum joke that you morons haven't come with yet? I mean, how long can this go on? Jim, war bums using Gnocchi as earbuds. War bums using fire in a barrel as accent lighting. War bums using rash lids as, or trash lids, I would imagine, as serving platters. War bums taking pics of dumpster food for Instagram. Alvy, don't encourage that crap. Alvy. Alvy's like doubled over in laughter, hitting the laugh track. Signed Perry on Wilshire and Bundy, of course. Of course, some idiot on Wilshire and Bundy is going to participate in this. Rome. War bums using soapbox derby cars coasting downhill as self-driving Teslas. Nick in the land of Norsemen. You're having quite a day, aren't you, Nick? You're running out of time, losers. You are running out of time. If you want to participate in Bum Smack, you better do it right now. Because if the suits haven't fired me already for Bum Smack, they will if I blow the clock up over Bum Smack. Let's go to Houston. Mike in H-Town. Back to the phones we go. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I'm so excited for today. I'm about to go into a big business presentation, so I put on my best sweatpants, took a handful of Viagra, and I'm all stretched out.
That's not a good color. No.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good color.
Case in point. Very quickly, it's now time for your personal appearance segment. How many times have you heard me say this? Clones, personal appearance is not show fodder. And the reason it's not show fodder is because it's not smart, it's not clever, it's not a take. Clowning people for being fat or having jacked up grills is not funny. It's juvenile and it's tired as hell. Especially around these parts where y'all can't wait to remind me that Mark Mangino may carry an extra LB or two. Or that sharks have nothing on Jewel's set of chiclets. I've heard it all before. I've seen it all before. I've read it all before. But because you got the all-new Jim Rome podcast into the top five on iTunes, this is your chance, your last chance to reset all those things one last time. Officially, for this segment, and this segment only, personal appearance is show fodder. As I mentioned, a smack-off is breaking out during Romageddon. So if that's the case, why wouldn't I start with the two-time defending smack-off champ? Lef in Laguna, essentially where he lives and what he does. Let's go to the Laguna Beach Bully, the two-time defending champ. Lef, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Jimmy. Hey, wanted to hit on the whole Rick Pitino thing, if I could, real quick. Romy, I know this guy was already on thin ice, but dude looks so much like a corpse. It's like Louisville actually keeps his body on ice. I mean, Romy, seriously, I wouldn't be surprised if they're performing autopsies on this guy after every game. I mean, what type of beer is this vampire drinking anyways? Budweiser? And, Romy, I'm not saying rigor mortis is fully set in yet, but dude hasn't looked this stiff since he devoured that fish taco at that Italian restaurant. Jimmy, War, Jacksonville Jaguars, Shahid Khan sporting that big brown lip sweater that looks like he gave a mustache ride to Najee Davenport. I'm out.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You know something, Lef? I frankly may ask you to vacate either one or both of those titles on that call alone. Listen, if you want to call this guy a vampire, or if you want to say this guy looks like a corpse and that he drinks Budweiser, that's fine. There are things that you can still get run for today. I think that you're misinformed. I think that you think that, hey, what the hell? It's Romageddon. I can say whatever I want. Again, you cannot say things like that. Even if you're the two-time defending champ, you cannot say things like that. All right, stay in your lane. The lane is much wider than it normally is. Stay in it, though. Let's keep moving. This time we go to Mark in Hollywood. It's a murderer's row from Lef to Mark. Mark, don't do the same thing. Don't let that be you.
Nah, Jim. But I'm going to say to you what E.J. Ho says to a barbed wire friend, fence. Hello, friend. But Lef, my man, you didn't even talk about Rick Pitino's hair. I mean, that guy looks like he ripped one of Kellen Winslow's Vaseline tubs and dumped it into that slick. Well, Rick, you don't want to do that because you'll end up like Cameron Diaz in Something About Mary. You know, Jim, as a sidebar, back in Philly when we did that to our girls, we call that a semen mullet. But, you know, I'm just wondering if this translucent slime bag decided to play it safe or if he rolled up on that diner counter bareback. War Pitino using angel hair pasta as a contrast.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
All right, listen. I have a show to do still, and I understand that this is Romageddon. And I understand that I may not have a show come Monday. This is not my Showtime show. You cannot come on here and say things like that. You know you can't. See, the problem with it is you don't mind dying in that kamikaze mission. Like, what do you care? You got nothing to lose. You can still get up and go to work the next day. The problem is I need to get up and go to work next day. The next day. And while I have a number of different opportunities, this is still the franchise. This is still how I put food on the table. And all those other things that I have are a result of this. All right? I'm letting you do some things that you normally cannot do, but there are some things that you can never do. Things like that. So what chance do I stand if two of the most well-known callers on the show cannot get through their call? 1-800-636-8686. I mean, we're not going to make this three, are we? Back to back to back. And right when I thought that the bum smack was going to be far and away the worst segment of the day. Wow. Lef got rung up. Mark in Hollywood, hammered. Let's go to Mark in Boston. He's next. Another smack off vet. Mark, don't make me do it again, Mark. Do not make me do it again.
Man. Sarah Jessica Parker was hosed at the Emmys for her work as Jon Snow's horse. That seriously gave me a long face. And how about our boy Anthony Davis, dude? That guy's face bridge is so thick, if you bleached it white, people would grab straws and try to snort it off of his face. You know, Cal in Vegas' head is the reason why he had a Zika scare a few years ago. His forehead is so big and greasy, other gamblers see his card's reflection on that billboard. When he was born, the doctor jumped out of the way and screamed, "Heads up!" Hey, Jim, I just think it's kind of odd that NASCAR is the only sport where there's literally a crankshaft right in the driver's face the whole time. Oh, sorry, wrong segment. War playing Connect Four on Seal's face.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
First of all, leave my dude Seal alone. I love Seal. When I was at Super Bowl a couple years back, I was walking through the hotel lobby, and Seal rolled up on me. He goes, yo, Jim Rome, what's up? I'm like, yo, Seal, what's up with you? So you keep his name out your mouth. But that's not why you got run. You got run for breaking the rule. Again, you were talking about one of the topics out of segment. You went with something on the call. You cannot talk about the Toby and Houston call during the personal appearance as show fodder segment. Take a step back and take a deep breath here. If you want to tweet about this, hashtag it Romageddon, but spell Romageddon correctly. The reason that thing is not trending is because you can't spell. Many of you cannot spell Romageddon. One G, two D's. The thing is, when you go to hashtag it, it comes up in autofill. Just click on it. They will spell it for you. We've already had three guys run. Do I really think that Vic in NoCal is going to get through this segment without getting run himself? In fact, now I'm at a point where I just want to run everybody this segment. I don't want anybody to make it through their call. Let's go. He's won this thing before, too. Like I said, a smack-off broke out in the middle of a Romageddon. Vic in NoCal. Broadway Victor.
Romy, much like head coach of the Denver Broncos, Vance Joseph, I am having the time of my life. Dude, why'd they delay last night's game just because of a little lightning, okay? What, you scared of a little lightning, wuss? Dude, old school guys like Chuck Bednarik would have taken a lightning blast to the eye and still not missed a snap. Hey, North Turner caught a lightning blast to the face once, and he turned out okay. I mean, it kind of charred up his face a little, but I don't know. I think it gives him this kind of rugged handsomeness, you know? It kind of works for him. But hey, speaking of guys with Freddy Krueger-like faces, let me hit really quick on one Greg Popovich with his little virtue signaling about how enlightened he is and what an embarrassment to the world the country is. Hey, Popovich, you're not fooling anyone with that little beard of yours, all right, pal? First of all. I mean, I see you working, though. You know, you're growing out that little beard so as to camouflage all those craters you got on your face. Dude, I have driven through potholes in third-world countries that were a smoother ride than your grill. I don't think even that Mars Discovery rover from NASA could successfully navigate that rugged terrain. You know, it would probably get stuck on one of your pockmarks. One of the astronauts would have to jump out of it and push it from behind. Rover team, this is Houston. Check in. Houston, we have a problem. Rover has become stuck in a pockmark on the surface of Greg Popovich's left cheek. Rover team, this is Houston. You did not have clearance to navigate Moon Popovich. The situation is perilous. Abort! Abort!
All right, you know what? He actually got through the phone call because he played within the rules. It was not an easy thing to listen to. I went to the hammer numerous times, but I really couldn't run him because based on what we're doing today, it's not unfair. Can you imagine a world where calls like that used to be allowed and what this show used to sound like? People used to call the show and do that. Not like as a one-off or not once a segment, every single day. But at least we got through one call. The personal appearance as show fodder segment is moving quickly. See, Chris and KC tweets, congratulations to Amy Schumer for beating anorexia. I see what you did there, Chris. I see what you did there. I didn't say that. All right, don't come to me. I am not at all about body types, fat shaming, anything like that. I'm reading a tweet. Congratulations to Amy Schumer for beating anorexia. Let's go to SoCal. Jeff in SoCal. You may know that name. Jeff, you made it in. What's up?
Rome, what up, dog? Yo, in honor of the WNBA finals going on right now, I wanted to get in. And I know a lot of us aren't even aware that it's happening and that Magic is on Twitter trying to pimp it. But Brittany Griner looks like Lil Wayne if he got his wish. I mean, unconfirmed sources say that her coach yells, "Giddy up, Brittany! Giddy up!" during practice. They don't even put her in a locker room. She has her own stall. And now the only thing worse...
That's not a good call.
You know, I did say that personal appearances show far is all right, but I just...
Not a very good call.
I know you, Jeff. I know your deal. I don't know exactly where you're going with that, and I don't want to find out. I just don't trust you. I don't trust you. Dear Rome, Charlie Weiss and Mark Mangino walk into a bar. It takes the fire department 18 hours to grease them out of the doorway. Ward Jewell's mouth looking like the New York Times Sunday crossword. OG and the D. Hey, Rome. War ordering four Big Macs with a Diet Coke. I'm loving it. Madison Bumgardner's wife. Matt in Tucson. Hashtag Rome again. Mad Bum. That was not me. I read an email. I want no part of that. My man, I love Mad Bum. Love him. You're on your own, Matt. You're on your own, Matt. All right, that segment's over. Two down, two to go. Look, when you've been on the air as long as I have, there are some things in your career that you're not very proud of. Some things in your career that you probably shouldn't have done. The Rat family is one of those things. And don't hurt yourself trying to figure this one out, noobs. The Rat family is exactly what it sounds like. A family of athletes and coaches that look like rats. Now, to be transparent, much of what we've done today is not funny to me. It's just not. Frankly, I didn't originate much of today's crap. I mean, it is my show. It is my name. I've always had a different approach. I've come at it in a different way. And I may have done a few jacked up things in my day. But I never cracked open a mic and went in on bums. I never pretended to be Charlie Weiss and said, "Hey, Jim, can I get some of that jungle caramel?" I mean, believe it or not, old Chuck used to come on this show. We'd chop it up. He was actually a very good interview. So while this may be one of your best days ever, it's still one of my worst. Because much of this crap that you think is so funny is not funny to me at all. Now, that said, the Rat family, I can't lie, that was funny. Because people do look like rats, and it is funny. And it caught fire. And every time we added someone to the family, it was like a national holiday around here back in the day. It was funny as hell. Keyword being was. It's no longer funny. It's no longer appropriate. So I killed it. Or so I thought. But like rats themselves, it's hard to kill. Especially when a group of you will not let it die. So I started thinking to myself, how did this thing actually start? How did the family start? I'm not even sure at this point. It might have been, though, from the single greatest facts in show history, from Gaucho Bill. There was a time when there was no email, no Twitter, no text, just faxes. I'm going to read you this fax. This fax was written 22 years ago, and it may as well have been written yesterday. 22 years ago, quote, "I was watching cable TV last night, and the movie on was called Rat Boy. It's about a guy that, you guessed it, has the face of a rat. I'm sitting there feeling sorry for this kid because everybody makes fun of him when it hits me. If he can find himself a feminito, his problems are history. Well, the search is over. I have found the little facially challenged lad a perfect mate. It's none other than Monica Sellish. All I've seen in the local fish wrap lately are pictures of Sellish's rodent face contorting in a most heinous fashion as she prepares to pound the ball back at her horrified human opponent. Her mouth is agape, exposing her beaver-like chompers, while her beady black eyes are riveted on the ball. It's as though the rat girl thinks it's not a tennis ball she's striking, but a cheese ball, and the winner gets all she can eat. Along the same line, it appears that Miss Sellish has eaten way too many cheese balls during her time off. If I had a boiler like hers, I sure as hell wouldn't be wearing a dark, clingy shirt that accentuates her tummy roll. Maybe she should try sporting a small tent. I hear the Cirque du Soleil tour is coming to a close. As a longtime Dodger fan, I remember calling Claude Osteen the white rat. As a working man of the 90s, I can't help but think that Monica is the fat rat. Another suggested nickname, snack bar. Long live Steffi. The Hammerheads and Sabato Tarde, signed Gaucho Bill." Can I tell you something? 22 years ago, you have no idea. That fax 22 years ago was at least 25 years ahead of its time. I literally couldn't read it. I could not read it. But then the clones could not get me their rat submissions faster. Of course, that may have had something to do with the fact that we put the rat family up on my website with the solicitation. If you found a rat, you can send images to rats@jimrome.com. There was an actual website back then, rats@jimrome.com. I've tried to scrub the internet of the family, but I just can't do it. I promise you, if you got me into the top three, I would bring the family back. Let's do it. Gotta go to Wisco, right? Benny in Wisco is going to kick off the Rat Family segment. Benny, what's going on?
Not much. I can hardly keep my composure with you reading that Gaucho Bill fax off. That thing is scripture, man. But I appreciate the string, Jim. Honestly, I haven't been able to catch the show all week as I've been up here at the cottage. But I'm on this family group text, and the latest message told me that there was some sort of Parmageddon going on, and I had to call in right away. So here I am. I'm going to weigh in. And I've also had a few Tom and Jerry's on this chilly day, so I'm right in my wheelhouse, buddy. Okay, so a sincere congrats on the early success of the pod, despite today's consequences. Here's the kicker. If the FCC decides to fine you for today's hijinks, I nominate that you just bill Grammatica. He and Martine should be able to chew some of the costs for you. Speaking of the pod, can I request that you get an action star like Bruce Willis or maybe Jason Statham on as a guest one of these weeks? It'd be pretty sweet if you could fit a Baldy on there someday. Anywho, I'll be spending the rest of my day with this bottle of Jack that I have fixed the nozzle to, turned upside down, and strapped to the side of my cage so I can scurry over to enjoy one big drop at a time. And in conclusion, there will be a lot of clones taking victory lapis around Twitter today. So before I take mine, war Corey Pavin getting in a quick 18 on Tommy Lee Jones's face, war Bob Saget and Adrian Brody teaming up with University of Minnesota coach Richie Pitino as the founding fathers of the Bird family, and war Najee's toddler graduating from Pampers to Hampers, wrap me, I'm out.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
About to beat your hammer. He may have beaten your hammer. Well done, Benny. That's exactly what I expect from you to start off the Rat Family. You know, if you go to this website or if you go online and you see what we used to have posted, the really unfortunate thing is there are a number of members of that family that I consider good relationships on this show. I'd hate for them to find out, but I can't scrub the internet of it because the internet is in ink. 1-800-636-8686. It is the Rat Family segment for a few more moments. Once we end this segment, I put anybody new into the family or talk about the family. Let's go to Philadelphia. Zach in Philly. It's good to have you, Zach. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing good. Listen, I know this is a sports show, but I did just catch some breaking entertainment news I wanted to share with you guys. I want to give out a big congrats. It looks like Ratatouille 2 just got greenlit, and I think they're switching over to motion capture this time because it lists Rory McIlroy in the starring role, and I think Corey Pavin's going to be playing his father.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Zach. Thanks for breaking that news on the program. He's trying to put new people in. You know, as an example, people that were in the family, and you could find this, you've heard Corey Pavin mentioned a couple of times. Pavin was one of the original rats. And I guess, in a way, the rat family is kind of like personal appearance as show fodder. I mean, it's not Pavin's fault that he looked like a rat back in the day. You can't really control that. You play the hand that you were dealt. It just was kind of curious to me back in the day. And again, I don't want to say that I started this thing. I don't even remember. I might have started this thing, but it might have been Gaucho Bill. But it was very clear that once it became a thing, it was not hard to find people who look like rats. And then it was no longer a thing, like a lot of things I used to do back in the day that were funny and borderline appropriate, but then were not appropriate. Let's see. Steven Miro tweets, have you seen my copy of Who Moved My Cheese? Droppingly, Coach K. It's unfortunate. I love K. Doc Sergio 21 tweets, Are you wishing Henry Waxman would gnaw through some of the wires in your studio right about now? See, that's really not that unfortunate because I don't want to be a party to this, but that dude looked like a rat. All right, there you go. I played along. Slash and Brentwood's in. Wore Jim Morris Sr. as the new face of Chuck E. Cheese. Man, I hate that. I don't like that tweet at all.
I hate to hear that.
Dentech Jason tweets, just saw Corey Pavin and his family playing a game of hide and squeak. Hey, Slash, you better get the hell off the Mora family. I don't know what your deal is. Look what he chased that with. Wore Jim Mora Jr., Mark D'Antonio, Bill Snyder, and Urban Meyer, replacing the mechanical band at Chuck E. Cheese. Hey, Romy, it's been a rough week here in Louisville. It only got rougher when there was talk that Tom Crean might be named interim head coach. While I'm not disappointed Crean didn't get that job, I'm sure he is. It has to be some sort of consolation to him, however, that you had this segment and he can now be a member of the family. Jason Louisville. All right, you're running out of time. Let's go to the phones. We go to Nick in Iowa. Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm great, Rome, but I could be cheddar. Hey, it seems the NCAA and FBA got a little suspicious, Steve, lately when they noticed Coach K and Jim Boeheim chomping at the bit to trap Pitino and let him age in that circle cell. Say, I'm no detective, but I feel there is a rat in the room. I can only picture those two telling Rick to say cheese before his mugshot. Pitino should have known those two were up to no Gouda when they were running round and round together. Rick's best queso scenario is he claws and scratches back to the top of the ranks. I just hope he doesn't melt in the grates of the streets that drain into the sewers. I won't keep you any longer, Rome. Thanks for the slice.
I only ran it because, not because it was offensive, because it wasn't. I'm just, you don't want to out Benny Benny. Because you can't out Benny Benny. That's what Benny does. That's Benny's brand. I'm not saying that you can't rip the brand from him. I'm just saying that you're not good enough to do so. All right, you're running out of time. The Rat Family, back for one segment. I'm a little disappointed in you, clones. I thought you would take advantage of putting new members into the family. How often do you see somebody and say, damn, I wish the family were still around? That guy would be in for sure. Or maybe if you want to take this opportunity to celebrate some of the kings of the family, you can do that too. Let's try Nebraska. Nebraska has been a part of the jungle for a long, long time. In fact, they probably were back there. And if not right around the family, not long thereafter. Dan in Nebraska. Hey, Dan, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Romy. I was at your tour stop back in Omaha like in 94, and I've never had a reason to call as your show until this moment, because one of the scariest, most wicked rat family members ever, and I won't even let my kids watch old Yankee highlights or Diamondback highlights because this creepy 6'9" guy would wander out there with this cheesy mustache, and it would just look like whiskers, and it was TV, and Fox Sports would focus in on him, and he looked like the scariest rat I've ever seen. And Randy Johnson is the epitome of a rat. He acted like a rat. They'd focus in, and he'd look like he was gnawing on some cheese inside of his glove when he put it up over his face. And, I mean, if there was ever a guy that you could just imagine going back into the dugout, hitting the lettuce tray and the cheese tray behind the dugout in the clubhouse, it's Randy Johnson.
You know, Dan, you know what's great about that? It almost makes it worthwhile that I would do this show today, or at least this segment, because you're somebody who went to a tour stop in 1994 and never called the show thereafter, but finally had a reason to call the show. And not because of some significant moment in your life, but because I brought back the Rat Family, and you want to make sure that everybody knew that Randy Johnson was the ultimate rat. Hey. The king of rats. The Toby and Houston call. Now, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you've no doubt heard a reference to this white whale of audio. It is, without question, the most beloved phone call in the history of the show. The history of a show that's taken tens of thousands of phone calls. Think of all the smack-offs, 23 of them. This phone call is more memorable to you clones than anything that's ever happened in any of those events. I mean, it's like jungle folklore to the highest degree. It's on a mantle above the mantle. But for me, it's always been in a grave beneath a grave. And I have not unearthed this phone call for anyone or anything. but it hasn't stopped you from trying. Almost every guest that swings through the jungle will get solicited on Twitter to ask me to play that call, the Toby call. And a few of them have actually tried. Scott Brooks tried. Andrew Bogut tried. Hell, Kevin Durant, the MVP of the NBA Finals, asked for Toby. He asked for the call on this show back in 2011.
Great to have you on. Thank you.
Hey, Jim, can you do me a favor?
You got it.
Can you say what's up to Toby in Houston for me?
Yo, Toby in Houston, what up?
All right, man. Appreciate that.
Do you know who that is, though, Kevin, or somebody feed that to you?
Yeah, that's my man. I know who it is.
Who is it?
It's one of my guy's best friends.
All right, man. You're being straight, right? You know the story behind Toby, right?
Yeah.
What?
Say it again?
What's the story behind Toby?
Oh, that's Larry Brown's guy, right?
It's Kevin Durant. We literally had that conversation on this show. And that goes way back to 2011. It shows you the reach of the show and what that call means to everybody. It shows you my grip on this thing, though. And that no one, not even my good friend and jungle legend, Boomer Esiason, has been able to pry it loose.
I'm ready to, as they say in Houston, crank it up, Jim. Where is Toby in Houston? I don't know, where is he? I don't know where he is. I was so looking forward to meeting him. I thought he was going to be a special guest here today.
All right, so Boomer's tried that probably a half dozen times. So here we are, inching closer to the moment that you've all been waiting for. But first, a little historical context. June 24th, 2005, Getaway Friday. I'm going into a long vacation. Mr. Automatic, Jay Stu, was on the phones. In fact, I want to save that thought. He was on the phones, and he screens this call. Stu could better describe what happened. I know what happened after that. I don't know. I'm not privy to what that conversation was about. Except the call that was on hold is not what I thought it was going to be. And I was into it because at that point, even a year after his death, all I was getting were emails about Marlon Brando, about how Brando could go into the all-you-can-eat buffet Hall of Fame. And I'd gotten about an hour's worth of that, and I was so happy to get a legitimate phone call. This guy said he wanted to talk about Larry Brown. I'm like, great, let's talk about Larry Brown. And then the call. Here's the thing. I've always swore that I would never play this call ever again, that I would quit or retire before I ever played the call again, but y'all wouldn't let it go. So I finally said, if Larry Brown, the guy that the call was about, were to call me and say, Romy, because he'd always Romy me, Romy, go ahead and play the Toby in Houston call, then I would do it. But I knew Larry Brown would never do that. Just as I knew that you clones could never get my podcast to number one overall on iTunes, except you did. And here we are again. And now I have to do the one thing that I swore that I would never, ever do. Play the Toby in Houston call. Look, I've got no idea if this is on the list of things that the FCC says you cannot say. I have no idea if somebody in New York is sitting on the dump button, or if I'm looking at a long suspension, or if it is cause for them to fire me. I don't know. I just don't know. But I do know that I promised you that I would play it. And that everything else that happened today, I promised and I did. So, let's go ahead and do this too. You clones got the Jim Rome podcast to number one on iTunes. So here is your ultimate bone. The bone that I said that I would never, ever toss to you. The Toby in Houston bone. And when you hear me at the end of the call, that is my legitimate reaction on the show when it happened. This is the famous Toby in Houston call that was never, ever supposed to see the light of day ever again.
Dear Jim, lay off Marlon Brando. He's the only man to win two Oscars and be inducted into the Sizzler and Hometown Buffet Hall of Fames. Sincerely, Jason in Brentwood. Back to back to back. You should be very proud of yourself, Jason. Or not at all. Jim, tell the clones to lay off the Brando smack. The reason his clothes are so big is because I made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. Signed, All You Can Eat Buffets. All right, look. Stop ruining my talk show. Sizzler does not have troughs, and Hometown Buffet does not have a Hall of Fame. Stop ruining my show. Back to your phone calls. Toby in Houston. Hi, Toby. How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Great.
Good, good. Hey, just getting back from the game in San Antonio. I used to live in San Antonio, and actually when Larry Brown was there, I was out at a workout club finishing my workout, just got out of the shower, tying up my shoes, and guy comes up to the locker next to me, opens up the door, foot away from my face, drops his towel. I look over, there's a crank right in my face. Larry Brown.
Yeah, we're all better for that story, Toby. I frankly have nothing to add to that. Let's move on. Huh. I got a question. Where the hell am I supposed to go from there? Here's a great jungle segment. We started off with emails about Marlon Brando's trough at Sizzler and somebody turning into Larry Brown's crank at a health club. There's a good segment. That's a segment that I'm proud of. I think that I should just break off right now, end the show, and ship this immediately to the Radio Hall of Fame, wherever that is. Because there will never be a better segment than that.
All right, so that was me back then in 2005. I mean, I'll admit this. I don't recall being as rattled as I was after a telephone call as I was after that telephone call. And I meant that sincerely. What the hell do I do now? I cannot believe that guy just said that. And how did that guy get through? Well, why don't we find out? For some historical context, we're joined right now by the guy who screened that phone call. Mr. Automatic. Jason Stewart, longtime employee of the program, who screened thousands of phone calls, including that one. Jay Stu, what's up, brother?
Jim, great to hear your voice. How are you, my man?
Stu, I'm so great. It's great to hear your voice.
I'll now, tell you what. You and I have hundreds of mutual friends on Twitter. And whenever this came to be this week, if I didn't get one, I got 100 at tweets. On Twitter asking me if I'm going to listen, what I did that day, and would I call in? And I thought, absolutely, but can I get through the call screener? And Hawk has let me on.
Well, Stu, you know you are always welcome on this program. You are still family. You did a great job for me. And you've got intel that nobody else has. You were in that chair that day. You took that phone call. It was a long time ago. What do you remember about that?
Oh, man, I do remember it like it was yesterday, and I remember the Marlon Brando thing, but I remember getting this phone call in and listening to the story. And you know me, Jim, I was like this old, griddled guy, bitter. I let calls in, but was not, you know, I was very deciphering with calls got through and which calls didn't, right? So at this point, I heard the story, and I had to say, like, wait a minute. Tell that story again. I had to make sure I heard it correct. And you know me, Jim, I would always put calls up on the screen. I would always let you know who it was, where they were from, and what they wanted to talk about. But by no means would I ever go out on a limb for a caller. I'm not going to put my livelihood in jeopardy to vouch for a caller. But I remember specifically after taking the call, after gathering myself and putting my head on the desk and laughing, getting in your ear and saying, Jim, I think you should take this call. And I remember in the comments box on the call screen saying, only, Jim, an incredible story about Larry Brown. I remember saying that. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Stu. Because if I had known what the story was, I clearly would not have taken the phone call.
And I think the most frequent question I've gotten over the years from clones, and I remember Kyle Brett used to always ask me this question, like, do you remember at the time thinking this was going to be legendary? Like, this is kind of this... a call out of many of thousands that's going to stick out. And I think at the time I did think that. Like, there was something about that story and the delivery and the language that I'm like, wait a minute, I think this might be able to make a mark. And it obviously did.
It obviously did, Stu, and you're right. It, not only was it the story, but this guy Toby, whoever this character is, the way he delivered that story, the way he delivered and sold that story and set it up, it really was genius, but I mean this sincerely. I thought it would never see the light of day, Stu. I thought that you and I would never have this conversation, at least not on the air, and that it would get played back once again. Yet here we are. Here we freaking are.
It's a monumental day, and just hearing it back, Jim, brought back all the great memories. And I'm glad that that I could at least add a little bit here today. And I'm glad I got through the call screener. Hawk let me through. And amazing day. And hello, clones.
Stu, the clones, I'm looking at Twitter right now. They're pumped to hear your voice. I know you've got your own show to do, so let me send you off with your song, Mr. Automatic. Stu, that made it better. That helped a lot. Thanks for the historical context. Have a great day and a great show, Stu. You're welcome here anytime. Jay Stu. Hey, very good Monday to you. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. All right, lots to get to on a Monday. Let me jump right into this. You remember all that talk about how the NFL season had gotten off to such a boring start? Yeah, me neither, because yesterday was unreal. And that's exactly what I would be talking about if it were not for this.
Yeah! Get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired.
Believe me, I would rather never, ever talk about politics on this show. However, if the president is going to talk sports
fired!
And talk about them the way he did, then he leaves me no choice but to talk politics.
Lighting a flag in a fire or disrespecting the national anthem, there is zero difference.
What this president is doing is wrong.
Like my cousins in Jersey City who you stiffed on their Atlantic City drywall contracts, you lying SOB.
Pointing out that there is a problem is not divisive. Claiming, though, that there is no problem absolutely is.
What'd I say?
Called him a bum.
Bum smack is not back. It's never coming back. No matter who calls who a bum, knock it off.
Knock it off!
Lots to talk about with Mike Freeman. The greatest Star Trek captain is...
Ooh, I love these questions. Janeway.
Touchdown!
Oh, Odell,
that's
what are
dumb.
You thinking?
He's gonna act like a dog and pee on it.
And better yet, next time you score, just run a dog onto the field. Teach that dog to drop growler on cue. Wesley Woodyard.
Good to be back, Jim. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. I'm great.
I feel like we're family. We talk all the time.
Ben Golver joining us. All right, so if you're Billy Donovan, what would be your biggest concern?
Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony are just sort of wired to get the ball up. I don't envy Billy Donovan, by the way.
What we do in Green Bay.
I was the one doing the keg stand yelling.
For the clones, Jordan.
We're already trying to plan Clone Stock 18.
Drew Jumpman Gillett. You should create Clone Stock franchises. Michael Brockers.
I'd be like, what? Coach, wait, like, how do you know this song? This song, right. This song came out like this year. How do you know it? He's old.
Coaches at some of the nation's top programs.
It's believed that that school is Louisville. Louisville. When informed of that, the athletic department at Louisville said, and I quote, Oh!
You have advantages that are systemically, culturally,
so I would have thought that that guy, of all guys, would have wanted next to nothing to do with Media Day. But that was something that had to be said. And I respect it, and I admire it, and I'm glad he said it. Bum smack, personal appearances as show fodder. And the Rat family, if you jump and you hit a grand slam and you get us up to number one, I will play the call. Now again, we're not talking about a few rogue programs. We're talking about the programs. In fact, this is college basketball. This is how business is being conducted and has been for a long time. And finally, they nailed somebody. Dan Wetzel is my guest.
A lot of them are quite happy about this. They're not nervous. They're like, this is great. That guy's been making deals forever. They cheated us out of this recruit. We didn't get that guy because of this. They're ecstatic.
Pat 40.
They should get the death penalty because it's just a complete disregard for the fact that they were already in serious trouble. And let's just go out and buy a couple guys, you know, while we're waiting to find out or have just found out that we're getting slammed to the point that they're taking down one of our banners.
Ken Niamatololo.
The euphoria of wins don't last very long. The losses, they haunt you for the rest of your life. When the losses don't really hurt, then I think it's time for me to go back to Hawaii and start raking the yard.
Romageddon. You clones did it. I should have never doubted you. But if you think that I'm going to get down in the mud with you and celebrate that and laugh at any of it, you could not be more wrong. So what you're calling the best day of your life, I'm calling one of my worst.
Hashtag
Rome is pissed. In fact, Van Smack, I'll tell you what, when I do that scrub fantasy show on Saturdays, maybe you'll be one of the guests. How's that? Now, what do you say you push my buttons for me now, tough guy?
With guest host Brett Napier on CBS.
You didn't really think Romy was actually going to come into work today, did you? And honor those insane promises? Got to be smarter than that.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
And poor starving Americans must suck having puddle water and tree bark as their two essential food groups.
Why did the bum cross the road? Answer. His house blew over there.
Four bums using empty skull cans as Amazon Echo.
And I'm all stretched out.
Truly regrettable. Bums. Dave Yeager is my guest. Dave, I am so happy to talk to you. You have no idea. It's great to have you on. How are you?
Man, it sounds like you're on fire today.
I'm going to light myself on fire today, I think.
Big brown lip sweater that looks like he gave a mustache ride to Najee Davenport.
War Patino using angel hair pasta as a contrast.
War playing Connect Four on Steel Space.
Houston, we have a problem. Rover has become stuck in a pockmark on the surface of Greg Popovich's left cheek.
They don't even put her in a locker room. She has her own stall.
Honestly, I haven't been able to catch the show all week because I've been up
here at the cottage.
Hitting the lettuce tray and the cheese tray behind the dugout in the clubhouse. It's Randy Johnson.
Crank right in my face. Larry Brown.
An incredible story about Larry Brown.
That's the famous Toby in Houston call. That happened.
That's just dumb.
Thanks for your time, Jim, and go Pack.
You've been had.
Roy Firestone, Jim.
Save it.
Haircut, boy.
Bitch.
Good, Jim. Happy Rome again.
Good night now.
Well, I hope you clones are happy because I'm not. But thank you very much for listening. Thank you for holding up your end of the bargain, and you're damn right. I held up mine. Check back on Monday for more Daily Jungle. I hope I'm here for it. See you then. I'm out.